Welcome one, welcome all to episode 102 of Ladies with Gumption, Worlds Collide. I am introducing as Tatiana, and I am here with
Jessica
and May.
We are the Ladies of Gumption.
I wanted to be May, but not today. I got overruled.
Not today. So. Yeah. When we've gotten more comfortable in our own skin, we will swap it. We are the Ladies of Gumption. We recap DCTV in a flash. And you can find us at ladieswgumption.twitter.com or at dctvgumption. You can also find
twitter.com.
That's twitter.com?
Yeah.
ladieswgumption.tumblr.com or at dctvgumption on Twitter. And you can also find us anywhere that podcasts are found, such as iTunes/the podcast app, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, maybe Facebook. I don't actually know what's going on with Facebook. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. And of course, if you are a Patreon, thank you for your patronage. And you get first listen to new episodes and exclusive content. The latest one that we released, I think, was You, seasons 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
We also got like a request to do The Witcher, so that might be the next one.
And y'all know that I am all about doing The Witcher, so I support this. All right. In the latest news, we have The Adventures of Superman and Lois was picked up to series order at the CW, while Green Arrow and the Canaries was surprisingly not yet picked up. So I don't know if that just means they're waiting for the backdoor pilot, or if they were like, this is garbage. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. But
I'm
in the meantime,
that they're not going to do it.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. Either if they do it, I don't think that they're going to add it to their fault, because they renewed all their shows and they added two more new ones. So it's like all the time slots are taken at this point.
This is not a lie. This is not a lie.
I feel like they would, like, if, like, when they were thinking about it, they weren't thinking about it being like a winter or a summer show. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see.
We shall see. We shall see. And then we have Joanna Vanderhim, who's been cast as a Legends Season 5 villain connected to Charlie. I don't really know. I don't think we know anything about her, right? We don't know her name. Just that she's killing machine with daggers made of bones.
What?
Wherever she goes, death follows. You'd think that her bones would be made of daggers. That'd be creepier than daggers made of bones. But okay.
Yeah, I was like, won't they break easier?
Yeah. Aren't they kind of blunt? Like, I don't know. I guess we'll find out what daggers made of bones means. We also
and
have
if she's
some
connected to Charlie. That means that Charlie actually gets some story.
Can you imagine it? I don't know. I don't know if it's possible.
Mm.
We have some abbreviated feedback. Oh yeah.
Okay.
So if it's level
four,
through them now, but literally they are not popping up now. So I will hand this over to Jessica, who will be able to read the emails.
Okay. So for Love Boat feedback, we have Rachel. Who says, I'm actually listening to your latest Love Boat episode right now, and although I can't share my complete thoughts on Arrow because I'm not caught up on that show, I do have thoughts on the other shows. For The Flash, I noticed how the lack of West Allen intimacy, because you pointed out, so thank you for that, and I'm glad that there's still the gold standard, even if that gold isn't as polished as we would hope it to be. I like Jostil and Cisco and Camilla, but they also aren't as present, even though they are stable. Although, personally, I prefer stable ships that don't have a ton of screen time to ones with constant pointless drama. On Supergirl, first of all, let me say that I am with Jess on the Caradox crack canoe. Thank you. There's room for two. They worked really hard, really well as a team, and could definitely understand each other, as we've seen that they have amidst the brainy miscommunication shenanigans. But I do agree that Supercore is the main ship of the show, and that it's unhealthy, which is why the main ship I support on this show is Kelly and Alex, as well as obviously Kara and Alex's sister relationship, which I love, and Alex and Brainy's friendship, and the mentorships John has with everyone. But specifically to Kelly and Alex, they haven't let me down, and I'm amazed that they're written so well. So this basically goes back to Rachel's point that she likes stable ships. And then her other crack ship, even though it's supported by Jesse Rath himself. May we get more in 5/11/5/12 is Brainy and Wynn. So that's one we haven't seen before. Maybe we'll come back.
Kara Kate would
be interesting.
Been a while.
Yeah, she also likes Kara Kate and Kara and Luke. Both very good. Brainy and Luke would be very cute, as well as Mary and Nia. So basically, she's ready for the Supergirl Batwoman crossover that hopefully we get. And Arrow, she doesn't really have a lot of main ships. She kind of like binge watched the entire series basically to get up to the final. But she really likes Dinah and Laurel, mostly because of us. So that's cool.
Our power.
And then on Batwoman, Kate and Sophie are on a solo road full of potholes in the middle of nowhere, which is to say that I don't know where they're going, and there's going to be a lot of painful moments before we get there with them. If we do, we'll see. So she's very much in favor of them getting together, though. The most important, interesting thing about the show so far is that Kate and her relationships with her two sisters, and I really like seeing the conflict and how Kate deals with it as herself and as Batwoman. Yeah. And she also thinks Mary and Luke is cute, so she agrees with that, too. So thank you, Rachel. And I think maybe Rachel was the only Love Boat feedback, because I think all of the others were on Crisis.
Well, thank you for supporting our ships, Rachel. So with that being said, we will do the rest of the feedback when we're talking Crisis. And in the meantime, May will be taking over, talking about the final two parts of Crisis, likes, dislikes, the lady with gumption of Crisis, starting with Arrow. You may begin.
Yes, the final two parts on one night, 2 hours of semi-boredom, stuck at the vanishing point for months. The Paragon search for a way to escape with no food and no cleaning kits or shaving kits, and the futility of the situation is compounded by the Flash's disappearance for some reason that lasts 2 seconds. However, hope appears in the form of Oliver, who has become something else, aka the Spectre, and boops Barry on the head so that he can access the Speed Force at the origination point of Crisis, and they all go back to the dawn of time to defeat the Anti-Monitor, and Oliver dies. What sparked joy?
I guess like the first thing that we obviously have to talk about, and the obligatory like screaming like oh my god, is like the Flash and Flash scene.
Yes,
I didn't even get to see it live, but just everyone like freaking out on Twitter with Ezra and Grant doing a Flash on Flash scene. Ezra's Barry's like, oh my god, is this cosplay? And I like
thought
the fact...
Barry was a fan.
And I like the fact that Barry's like, no, I'm the Flash, and Ezra's like, what? That's my name. So I hope they pick that up in the movie whenever they make it, because that would be like a nice little cute tie-in, and maybe that was the point of that part of the scene. I don't know. I hope. So obviously that was really great. I loved Ezra's like energy about it, and he was like definitely a great sport about it. And you could remind me of that interview that he did like back when he first got picked to play the Flash in the DCEU, and he's talking about, you know, him and Grant and, you know, there's two of us, and he's just like really, really excited about it, and had a lot of good energy about it. So this is kind of like the culmination of that back in the past. So that was kind of cool. The most of the Arrow episode kind of happened in a vacuum. There are some parts that I liked about the Speed Force situation and other parts that I didn't. But the parts that I liked about it was that it seemed like Barry was traveling to just memories, but they also seemed like they could be real because the people in those memories were also like interacting with Barry, so he wasn't like an observer. So it's kind of like, why are you here? Or in Kate's case, when she somehow wound up at Queen Consolidated, now owned by Ray, Palmer Technologies, and like Ray and Oliver going back and forth. But then they're like, who are you? So it feels kind of like, I don't know if they were kind of like real and not real at the same time. So I was thinking that could have some kind of implications of maybe things that little changes in those parts of the Speed Force that could maybe come out later on in everyone's back half of the season. That could be kind of fun. So I did like that part. Ryan Choi is just adorable and the best. I like that team up with Kara, Ryan, and Lex to go to like Malthus to stop the monitor from creating the anti-monitor. Just Ryan and Kara's team up was great. I like their chemistry together. And Lex is just annoying, working on Kara's last nerve like the whole time. And I like that side of the story. And I like the concept of the Speed Force. And then you have the final scene where everybody has like their, I think someone called it like Captain Planet moment, where you're just like, stare, strong determination. And you know, you get like the line of like superheroes, like just staring intently into the distance and being like, you know, either Captain Planet or like their Power Ranger, like getting ready to like power up or something like that.
I thought they were going to hold hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Care Bear stare. Yeah. Come on, Oliver. You can do it. I think over as a entire episode, it was pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I enjoyed that first half of that two-parter to an extent. Like, obviously, the Tale of Two Flashes was, like, the best. I was not expecting it at all. I was totally shocked that it happened. And it made me, like, I just felt like warm fuzzies. I was like, goodwill for everyone involved. You know, goodwill for Ezra, goodwill for Grant, goodwill for whoever on the WB side was like, okay, fine. You know? And also, just, you know, I'm just glad that they gave Ezra a chance to play the Flash again, because we don't know when he's going to actually get to do it. So it was really sweet. But yeah, no, I thought it was a really fun scene. And it was definitely like my favorite Speed Force scene, because I guess we'll talk about Speed Force, you know, later. But I like that Laurel, like, got to be there. So I guess Katie Cassidy got paid for her Speed Force appearance.
That's kind of crazy. That was the only time we saw her at all in the entire right. crossover.
Yeah, we'll have things to say about that. But but yes, I'm glad that she was in that scene. And I enjoyed, in general, I think that Spectre Ollie was, like, more interesting than Ollie. So there's that. His little weird, like, echo chamber voice being all like, I'm at peace with death. Run, Barry. It's much harder to live than to just die. And I was like, all right, it's cool. I mean, if anything, it made me feel like he will, in fact, be dead, and we're not going to have to, like, revive him again in the Arrow finale. So,
no, yeah.
So I was like, well, at least there's that. But I did also very much like Ryan Choi, especially his team up with Kara and
Paragon
Lex.
Pep talks.
Yes! Like, when he got the Paragon pep talks, it was really cute. And just the fact that, like, she was, like, hyping him up, like, no, you know, you're great. Like, you're really extraordinary. And he was like, I don't know. It's kind of hard to believe that. And then the monitor was like, dang, you're really extraordinary. He's like, you know what? My friend was just telling me that. And now it's like, I guess it's true. And I was like, aw, Ryan. So that was cute. I liked that he managed to talk the monitor down from, you know, doing the thing that would destroy all of Earth. Except, of course, that was undone by some other monitor that Ryan Choi didn't talk to. But for a split second, it was great. I was like, yeah, Ryan saved everyone! I also enjoyed Lex going over there and trying to be like, hey, let's cut a different deal. You know, like, yeah. I'm going to make you destroy the Earth better so that it doesn't affect you, and also I get something out of it. I was like, that's very Lex. I appreciate this. What else? I mean, I thought that Oliver's third death scene was also good. Like,
I thought it was kind of funny. Like, when he was, like, dying up there on the mountain with when Sarah and Barry got there, and he was, like, he had the tear going. So it's a tear, and then he, like, blinks out. And I was like, yes, this is a great death. And then he closed his eyes. I'm like, wait a minute. You're not dead yet.
You weren't done. You weren't done. But I felt like when that happened, I was like, I felt like that could have been the end of the crossover, you know? When Legends started, I was like, there's more? Like, what else is supposed to happen? But, but yeah, I liked, I thought that, like, you know, he went out like, you know, a hero, whatever, it's cool. So, that's good. And yeah, I mean, I think just overall it was nice to get some different interactions. I don't, well, the rest of it will just be negative, so I guess I'll just stop talking now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll start off by saying that I liked this death, the second death for Oliver, more than the first death, because obviously I don't think they should have killed him at all. Like, they should have just left his death to this moment, but it was much better than, like, what they tried to do the first time, because, like, it actually felt more emotional, and, like, he was actually done with what he needed to do, and he was giving, like, out solid advice to Barry specifically, and, you know, he is right, you know, it is harder to continue on. So the fact that he had this 8-season journey, he's been working for the Monitor for, like, season 8, and then this happened, so it feels like a true ending to his story, so that was really nice. And yeah, I think it was a generally enjoyable episode. I liked what they did with the Speed Force, like the concept of being, it was like watching memories that moved, like they interacted with you, like, you know, Inception in a way. It wasn't that they were just stuck in that specific place and they were just reliving things. It was like stuff that was felt like that was also happening, if that makes sense, even though it was, I'll get to that later. But yeah, so it was like nice to see certain moments again and then have them sort of interrupted. And I really liked actually that they chose that scene between Oliver and Kara from 2-3 crossovers ago, like when they first really interacted and he just said he didn't like trust aliens or whatever. And I feel like that was nice because it was bringing back Kara. Because we know, like, in the crossovers, they always want to push the Barry and Oliver friendship. But in this crossover, like if Oliver was to die for Barry and Kara, it was nice to see them finally have, like, a moment between the two characters where it felt like, oh, okay, you know, they were more than just random people who happened to be on the same team. They actually talked. So that when he did say, it's like, oh, you guys are the best people, you felt that a little bit more because of the scene.
You felt the growth of their, like, from where they started to where they are now in their relationship.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I mean, it was nice to see Laurel, obviously, and just to reiterate the Ryan Choi Supergirl team up, because I think that they had, like, interesting interactions, and I think that as people, they got along really well, because they have, you know, a moral compass, and it kind of brought back Kara's hope to be like, yeah, you can do this. And that she was the paragon of hope. So that was really nice. And then in general, like, it was fun to see them, like, trying to battle the shadow creatures, which I thought were time wraiths initially, but they were not. So that was really cool. And just, like, in general, it had good pacing and whatnot, so it was like an entertaining hour. So the ending felt like, okay, yes, we're done with this, it's cool.
And but, then
and then Legends. But is there anything that did not spark joy about this penultimate episode of the crossover?
Well, I will just say, just like going back to my likes really quick, that probably my favorite Speed Force, aside from Barry and Barry, is Kate. Well, I don't know how she got, like, there's supposed to be, like, bonds between, you know, bonds that we forged and da-da-da-da, but Kate has no bonds, apparently, so she, like, has
just
to, like,
wandered in,
hijack one of Oliver's, like, Oliver and Ray. But I think, because when she came out of it, she felt like she learned something. Like, Oliver started out, like, not trusting anybody, and then at the end, you know, what she knows of him now and how much trust he has and all of his friends, it kind of taught her something or made her realize that she needs to start trusting people too. So maybe I can finally get my team together on Batwoman in the back half. I don't know. So I thought that was, like, a really good forward movement for her story and her show.
Oh, and I forgot to mention my I can't believe I left this out. Obviously, the Flash versus, or not versus Flash, but Flash and Flash scene, specifically because, like, they were, because I've always had an issue with like Ezra Miller's suit. I like Ezra Miller, but his suit is just crap. So the fact that they were talking about each other's suit, they're like, yours looks really comfortable and breathable. Like, maybe I want to upgrade for mine when I finally get my movie.
Yeah. And then really Barry fun. Was like, yours looks
safe.
I was like, okay. What a great.
Oh, trying to find a compliment somewhere.
Yeah, and I like the Victor name drop too. So hopefully we can see Cyborg in his movie as well. So that was cool.
I did think like when Spectrever Oliver shows up to like coach the team on what they need to do. He's like, we need to hold the line. I'm like, hold the door. They did that. So okay, no joy. No joy for me in this episode. And really, it's more of a crossover complaint. But, like, Barry is just such a pussy for Oliver. And it's so unnecessary. And I hate it. Like, I wish I loved Oliver as much as Mark Guggenheim, the CW. Because then maybe I would have gotten some, like, enjoyment from what are clearly supposed to be, like, the emotional beats of the episode. Because all the emotional beats are, like, Oliver beats. And a lot of it is, like, Barry being, you know, in love with Oliver, basically. Mm-hmm. But it just seemed like they were just kind of like laying them on thick, especially with Barry. And, you know, every crossover that they do, it's like the Barry and Oliver shows. They play up the Barry and Oliver kind of thing. But it's almost like Barry's like, just has to be on Oliver's dick. Like, the whole crossover, Oliver is the best, da 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 da. And I feel like maybe I would feel it or believe it a little bit more if CW ever actually capitalized on having, like, 95% of the Arrowverse shooting in their shows in the same city and have characters, like, cross over or reference each other more than once a year, but they don't. And Barry and Oliver only find out what's going on in each other's life, like, once a year. And I feel like, yeah, Barry, like, Oliver initially, like, mentored or gave advice to Barry in the beginning of his superhero journey, but by no means did Oliver, like, make Barry into the hero he is today. And so, like, the whole ode to Oliver feels exactly like that's what the powers to be were going for. And it doesn't, like, if you compare that to Kara and Barry, like, Kara and Barry have, like, a more believable friendship and rapport to me than Oliver and Barry, because it feels like Kara and Barry are on the same level. Mm. They respect each other on the same level and everything like that. But with Oliver and Barry, I think Guggenheim, probably Guggenheim, wants to put this like little bit of a power dynamic between Oliver and Barry. So they're friends, but Oliver's just like a little bit higher than Barry. Not really like that. So, you know, if you like that relationship between Oliver and Barry and you love Oliver, then this episode was great for you, and the crossover was great for you, because everyone was like, Oliver, no, don't go. But, you know, I just don't like that it just seems like every time they have to do something with the Green Arrow and the Flash together, Guggenheim has to do something to put in there that, you know, they're friends, but Oliver's just a little bit better than Barry kind of thing. So, whatever. Other stuff happened in this episode. back to, like, the concept of the Speed Force challenge for Barry or whatever. I thought it was really interesting. Like I said before, the last one when it went across, when Barry went into Elseworlds and he saw the background of everything that Oliver did, like his initial sacrifice, and he got to understand that because he never found out about that. Great. But considering how much time it took up in the episode to do these little Speed Force scenes, and all the scenes were scenes that we've already seen before, it just felt like they were creatively trying to eat time so that they could drag the story out into a Legends of Tomorrow. And it's just like you had, and they've been talking about, you know, it's the biggest thing you've ever done. You had this one chance to go, like, over the top with Crisis, throw the kitchen sink at it. This is the climax episode where you're at the dawn of time, and most of it is just treading water so you can stretch out the remaining dregs of the story in the Legends of Tomorrow, because you already forced yourself to commit them to participate in the crossover this year. So I feel like there was a lot of, like, even though, you know, it's a cool in concept, there's a lot of, like, wasted space in there, especially because we don't know. I can assume that, you know, maybe Laurel seeing Sarah revived in the Speed Force because Barry touched her changed the way that Laurel, her, like, her whole trajectory or something like that. But, like, Barry just kept saying, this is not real, this is not real, this is not real. So, like, is it, if it's not real, then what's the point, you know? You just seem like the same scene, like, over and over again. Nothing changed. If that doesn't change anything else in the back half, then it's kind of like, I don't know. They could have been doing something different instead of rehashing old scenes in what's supposed to be, like, the biggest crossover of all time. So, yeah. And then LOL that all the strong bonds were Oliver bonds, except for Sarah. Like, at least Sarah got her own space with something that dramatic that happened to her. But I'm pretty sure, like, I don't know if it's because he's just a specter, and so, like, his mind was more powerful than everything else, and that's how he could hold the people in the different places. But, like, I'm pretty sure there are probably, like, stronger memories or other characters that could have been chosen. But I guess, you know, we know Guggenheim is a stingy bastard and didn't want to cut checks for other people. So we get you don't have any money, but you can, like, replay the same scenes over and over again in a new crossover, you know. If you're throwing, like, the kitchen sink at the wall or whatever, and you're spending all this money, I would expect a little something more than scenes that we've seen in other crossovers before. So, whatever.
I totally agree about the repeating scenes, you know, from previous crossovers, and just, like, random scenes. Like, I didn't even remember that Ray and Oliver scene. It just seems so irrelevant. And also, like, not really connected to any thematic elements. Or, like, that time that Superman saved Lois last year. So cool. But, I mean, it was cool, but also just totally disconnected on a thematic level. Mm-hmm. So, the entire trip through the Speed Force was dumb. Like, find all the pieces, the mini pieces of Oliver, so you can make a major Oliver, and then bring him back, or whatever, still as the Spectre, so it's not any different. I feel like we could have just gone through Speed Force, maybe each of us seen something connected to Barry, you know? Because Barry is the Speed Force. Speed Force is Barry, not Oliver. So, whatever. I don't know why the Speed Force has got random shit from Oliver's life that has nothing to do with Barry. So all of that was weird, and should have been the opposite way, I think. Like,
yeah.
In order to travel through the Speed Force, you have to have some connection to Barry, right?
Right.
But anyway, aside from that, I was really excited about getting Mar-Nor-Vu's backstory. Mar-Nor-Vu, whatever, you know his name's backstory. And then as it was happening, I was like, why does this seem so familiar? I was like, oh, that's because it's Pariah's backstory. So instead of giving us fucking Pariah, they made Pariah Mar-Nor-Vu, thus making Pariah as a character irrelevant. Why was the Monitor punishing Pariah for opening the gate to the Anti-Monitor when the Monitor was the one who created the Anti-Monitor in the first place?
Exactly.
Make it make sense! So, anyway, that was just bad. It was just stupid, and I don't understand. After that, I was just like, okay, well, I'm lost now on this plotline. I don't get what's going on here. But that's all right, I guess. Moving on, I totally agree with you about the power dynamic with Barry and Oliver, and of course I just wanted people to shut up about Oliver because he died in the first episode. But then I was going to be okay with it, right? Because I was like, okay, he's dead again. We've all accepted that he's really dead this time. But lo and behold, we'll talk about that later. So, aside from that, I don't know, like, I just feel like there are parts of this episode, and it's definitely clear by the next episode, but there are parts of this episode where it just starts to feel like they didn't really have a plot, right? They didn't really have a script, rather, for the crossover. They didn't really know where they were going. They were just like, we're going to have some really cool cameos, and we're going to have some, like, really cool reminders of the DCEU, and you're going to be like, yes, we love paying homage! Which is great, except that in this episode, that actually, I think the problem was that it slowed down on the cameos. They didn't really have any more. So they just had Ezra, and so then the rest was, like, a clip show of, like, not our greatest hits, of just, like, our, like, middling hits. Just, like, things that happened earlier.
Things that maybe hit, but not sure.
Exactly. Like, we're playing them again to see if they hit, because we're not. But, and that's when the story actually kind of falls apart, because you're like, wow, there's not really a lot going on in here, is there? We were just hanging out in the in the Vanishing Point for months without really accomplishing anything. And it didn't even need to be months, because it only took Barry, you know, seconds of his own time, right? It could have literally been seconds. He could have just gone and come back, done. Why months? But anyway, because they didn't do anything.
You know what? And May made a good point about there being, like, no, like, running water or shaving kits. Like, y'all just in your superhero suits for a month, just, like, stanking.
Exactly. Like, there's no...
Where are they peeing? I don't know.
There's no logical reason for it to have been that long. But anyway. So, yeah, and then they go to the beginning of time, and I don't really understand what happened there either. Like, it was just, like you go, like we said before, Care Bear Stare or Captain Planet, you know, calling Captain Planet, and then Oliver saves the day again. Like, I don't know. I feel like they could have come up with a better final, but not quite final, battle than that. Although I understand that they spent their entire budget on getting huge-ass cameos. So... maybe that's why we didn't get anything.
Maybe we should blame Ezra, because he probably sucked up all the money for Arrow.
That's true. The entire Arrow budget went into the Ezra scene.
Yeah.
And you know what?
I feel like there were plenty of cameos they could have gone without. You know, like, they didn't have to do the Birds of Prey one. They could have just used clips from, like, the old show or something.
Yeah.
Just like they did with Titans and Doom Patrol. So, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I pretty much feel the same way. For me, it's like, for one thing, I you know, Oliver as Spectre was fine, but then he, like, booped Barry on the head, and I was trying so hard not to laugh while I was watching it. It's just like, the sorcery ball was just kind of dumb. It's like, okay, you can't access the Speed Force, which belongs to you, but I'm going to boop you on the head and see what happens.
You know, like, a whole, like, power dynamic.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like,
yeah.
It's like the infantilization of Barry Allen.
Yeah, basically. So, like, it always just pisses me off when everybody's, like, teaching or telling Barry about the Speed Force. It's weird, because it undermines his own power of the Speed Force. Like, he should understand it the best of everyone, and yet everyone's always telling him about how to use it, and they don't know shit. So, that's always annoying. And then I feel like the Paragon stuff was, it felt wasted in this episode, because we spent 3 episodes collecting all the Paragons and finding the Paragons and sending people on missions to find the Paragons. And then here it's like, we didn't even get them showing what was important to them so they can actually access their Paragon hood or whatever Ours. They want to call it. Yeah. Like, they,
like,
just, they stood there.
Like,
so
they have, like, something shooting out, like, you know?
Yeah. Or, like, at least, like, the idea is, if, you know, Barry's going to be the Paragon of love, I don't know, maybe show him, like, even in the Speed Force, this is the prime time for him to show his connection to Iris, or at least, like, have a clip of her that they could have used while he was passing through the Speed Force. I don't know, like, make shit up. You know, he was already in there.
Oliver's Speed Force
and,
now.
And he lost, if they've been there for months and they really want to get the Earths back, like, that's his primary connection for why he can defeat the Anti-Monitor or whatever, then use that, you know? It just made little sense to me. And then I feel like Tati said, like, the Speed Force stuff was all about Oliver, and I feel like instead of, they could have just had found a way, instead of using the Speed Force, to just say, I'm hopping into Oliver's head so that we can access some sort of memories. If it's going to be an Arrow episode, and it is going to be heavily involving Oliver, why use the Speed Force if you're not going to have any of Barry's memories in there? It's just like Oliver's stuff going on in there, and it wasn't even like, I don't know why they used the Ray thing. It's like a reminder that they didn't get along, and I think that's really weird, because it feels, when I was watching it, I guess it just reminded me that I was like, oh yeah, Ray didn't like Oliver and he dated Felicity, and I was just like, is that what I was supposed to remember when I saw this scene? I don't know. So I don't know, it was just weird.
I think the real reason is that they wanted to pay Brandon Routh extra money, and his other version was dead, and Ray was not there, I guess, because he had just disappeared. So they're like, let's just,
like, take
Ray
the money because we're firing you. So
exactly,
parting gift.
Exactly.
But yeah, besides that, like, when they were at the Dawn of Time, it just felt underwhelming, because it's just like, okay, it's just a deserted planet, and that's it. It didn't feel like the scope of the multiverse disappearing was very large. Like, I don't think they got to really sit in the fact that everything was gone. So I feel like if they're going to drag their feet until the end, they might as well have sat there with everybody's emotions so we can get all those emotional beats before they actually went into the Speed Force and went into the Dawn of Time or whatever. So, and like Tati said, the whole Marnovu plot was dumb. Like, that backstory was just underwhelming. All right. Moving into the very next episode, which came right after. Basically, after Oliver died and he thought he bested the Anti-Monitor, he rebirthed a new multiverse. Worlds lived, worlds apparently died. Nothing will ever be the same because all the Earths merged. So Oliver gets a tribute and another tribute and then another tribute, and Sarah acts like Oliver didn't die again, even though she seemed okay with his death the first time. Diggle hates that he missed Oliver's death again as well. People cry over Oliver most of the episode. Bebo shows up, but it's not Bebo. Team decides to shrink the Anti-Monitor to finally destroy him, and then, of course, all of the Earths, like Black Lightning, Supergirl, merge onto Flash and Batwoman's Earth, and it becomes Earth Prime. And the Justice League, that is sort of not the Justice League because they didn't really name it, is formed. But it is the Justice League. What sparked joy?
All right. Now, this is the one that I feel like it's an unpopular opinion. Like, I feel like y'all share it, maybe. But I feel like the world at large should not share it. Maybe because it's just like, oh, it's the Legends tone and they're so fun. But I was just like, this was the episode where I was like, what the fuck is going on? Why did we need this episode? Just end it. Just cut it short. It really felt, I said this to you guys, but it felt like the Legends writers were like punishing the rest of the Arrowverse for making them take part in the crossover. They're like, we don't want to be here, and we're going to make it as difficult as possible so that you know that we don't want to be here. Which, respect, but I didn't want to watch that necessarily.
This is okay. It's not much spark joy for you.
That's right. I was like, ooh.
We have spent all the spark joy. I take it back. Obviously, Super Friends / Justice League and the fact that the Hall of Justice was there totally sparked joy for me. Love that for me and for everyone else. Seeing the Wonder Twins and Gleek, super cute. Also was great to like catch a glimpse of Green Lantern, you know, just like basically all the cameos. Amazing.
I totally missed all of that.
It's just like all of the end, like when they're like sort of like panning through like Earth Prime, right? And you're seeing all these things come together. I like that. I like the fact that they actually said Super Friends, or they called themselves Super Friends, or whatever. They said Super Friends at some point. And I was like, yes, Super Friends. And I liked most of the parts where they were like watching the same president, who is a woman, bless, talking about, you know, what had happened. And we see that Sarah Diggle exists again. Yay, Sarah Diggle. It was your time to shine. Now people can finally shut up.
People can finally stop bitching.
Exactly. People can finally shut up about Barry getting rid of Sarah Diggle. And then, of course, the fact that Superman and Lois have two sons.
Yeah, I thought that.
Previously, you know, he had dreamed of that. And she was like, ha-ha, Smallville, you can't tell the future. Apparently he can. I don't think she said Smallville, because that would be an Erica Durant thing. But whatever she said Clark, I guess. Anyway, it is a low-key, maybe a continuity error. I'm not sure. Like, maybe he was just not sure who she meant, or he was like grown, not the boys kind of situation. But it sounded like he was like, who are the boys? Like, he doesn't know that he has two sons.
Which would be weird. Should have known Paragon.
Yeah. So exactly. So if that's the case, then LOL. But even more joy, because that's just the Legends of it all, isn't it? Speaking of the Legends of it all, loved Mick at the book signing when the lady was like, "I'm a big fan," and she was like, "Rebecca, or what should I call you?" And he was like, "Rebecca's fine." I love that he was just mad that his book signing was interrupted. So that was cute. And what else was cute? You know what? I really liked the Sarah. Well, I liked the Sarah side of the Sarah and Barry conversation when she was talking about everyone she's lost. And, you know, how there's no one around who remembers who she is other than her mom. And her mom doesn't count because we hate moms. And so that was really sweet. And I thought it was like really nice to see like their relationship kind of growing closer, even though because they don't really get a chance to interact. Also, I thought that the Diggle and Sarah, like, confrontation, for lack of a better word, was really well acted as well. So Legends does a really good job of weaving, you know, emotional moments with just like hijinks. So great for that. I feel like I'm done now. I feel like that. Oh well, I like that we got to see Ryan with his baby. That was cute. Yeah, and I like that. You know, I like that Kate was there with Kara at the end. That was just like, oh okay, Kate doesn't have anywhere else to be, so she'll hang out with Kara because now they're besties. So yeah, love that. Oh yeah, Marv Wolfman. Obviously, almost forgot. Marv Wolfman's cameo is great. You know, paying homage to where this story came from, and he got to write the Arrow episode. So, right here at the Arrow episode. So, yeah. So it's nice to see them really pulling back to their roots. There you go.
Yeah. At first when I dragged my feet on watching the Legends of Tomorrow episode, because after the Arrow episode, I was just kind of like, done emotionally, like checked out a little bit. I was a little bit confused starting the Legends episode because it started out like a Supergirl episode. I was like, oh, this is Supergirl. They wrote more about like Supergirl than their own show. But I did like that the setup on Supergirl, where now Lex is like Kara's worst nightmare.
Oh my god, yeah, I totally forgot to say that.
Yeah,
yes.
Lex is winning like a Nobel Peace Prize, and she's like, oh my god, can you believe this? And he's like, yeah, this is so amazing. And like everyone is like, Lex is the best, and he usually doesn't come out to, you know, take awards, but he did for this one. Oh my gosh. he's like the boss of the DEO, so it's just like the worst for Kara. So I think all of that has like really good implications for Supergirl next week, like the back half version of Supergirl, because it got really set up really well. I also liked, like, all, of course, all of Barry and Kara's interactions together, like them finding out they're on the same Earth. Weather Witch, cool choice, I guess, for a villain for them to interact with. I guess the villain didn't really matter that much because they're just going to defeat it quickly anyway, but sure, give her a check. That's cool. I also like the Marv Wolfman cameo and how he was like just a little interaction between like Barry and Carly, just being like really confused on why this guy knows who both of them and how long has he known this. And so I thought that was kind of cool, them kind of like figuring out that they're on the same Earth. What else did I like? I did like Ryan and his baby. I thought that was really cute. I thought it was really cute when you could actually see the baby, because before it was like, he's definitely just not holding like a plastic doll. but when you got to see the baby was also really cute. So that was good. What else did I like? I agree with you on the emotional beat of Barry and Sarah's conversation from Sarah's side, because I think it showed kind of like, you know, I feel like all crossover, Sarah has kind of gotten the short end of the stick and just being the paragon of destiny, and just like, you know, apparently that was like self-explanatory and she didn't really have anything to kind of go off for that. But then in her conversation with Barry and talking about, you know, Oliver being dead again, and, you know, the reason why that she's kind of upset about it and been trying to get him back and not wanting to believe the fact that he died is because he's the last tether to where she came from and knew her as her. Which I don't know, did the world has collided into different forms. Did she not look to see if Laurel was back alive? But anyway,
Guggenheim did not resurrect her.
Going back to the good part of that conversation, and you know, I really kind of resonated with that with Sarah and where she was going through and what that means for her to enter kind of a whole brand new phase. She has a new family now with Legends, but just, you know, finally like letting go of that last piece of her old life. And so it's really opened up a new phase or a new journey for Sarah. So that was cool. John, it was an easy fix, but John going around giving everybody their memories back, and it's not really sparking joy, but I just I did think it was kind of funny how he was upset with Mash. He's like, this is all your fault. I just thought it was like his delivery was kind of funny because he was like a dad that was really, really mad. I'm trying to like go through. Oh, at the end, the Hall of Justice was really great. It feels like it was something that Barry thought up. So, finally Barry gets to have a good idea of something. I thought their final goodbyes to Oliver and the Hall of Justice was really cool. Superman showed up randomly at one point. Like, he wasn't in the overall shot, and then he kind of popped up in a close-up. I'm like, where did you come from? But, that whole sitting around the table felt like really like we solidified something, because I feel like in the Dominators crossover there was an attempt to do it. It didn't really kind of happen, but this one you have a table and you have like chairs, so obviously Barry paid some money for it, so hopefully it's gonna develop into something down the line.
You know, when he had the time to do that, though, but yeah.
I'm sure he called Iris off screen to make a order at whatever superhero furniture incorporated. But yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, I feel about the same. I mean, I really like the formation of the Justice League or whatever they're going to call it. Most of Sarah and Barry's talk, I really like the portion where she says that, like you already mentioned, but basically, like, before, she was with Legends, but she always had Star City to call home and come back to, regardless. And now it doesn't feel like there's any emotional attachment that she has to the Earth in general, because she's always just wandering around and time traveling and whatnot. So it doesn't feel like she's connected to anything anymore. So yeah, it really did feel like a start of a new journey for her moving forward. Black Lightning realizing that the world almost ends at least once a year was really funny. He's like, oh, okay. That's why we're getting all this stuff. Of course, in the merging of all the CW shows into Earth Prime, which I think was really the whole point of all of this, because that's the only way they could justify how they all suddenly belong to the same universe. So it makes it easier going forward for me personally to have maybe mini crossovers every once in a while, which would be very nice. And then hopefully like Black Lightning and Flash collide again, and then other people. And it just feels like a new world moving forward post the Oliver era, which is very refreshing. And then, Barry and Kara being Rays of Sunshine together, and Kara showing a lot of excitement when she saw Kate show up on that room. Yeah, she's so like, yes, you. Great. and like Jess said, like Barry and Kara's friendship has always seemed more natural because they are very similar and they have similar power dynamics, and they just seem like the greatest of friends when they get together, and it's so much fun to watch them interact. And especially in that like Marv Wolfman cameo, because it's like it was sort of like watching their first crossover together. It's just like, oh, like what is happening, like the expressions on their faces.
Mm-hmm. And like Barry handing Kara the marker for her to like take off the top for him.
Yeah, like they just play really well off of each other, and it really shows. So it's fun to see their dynamic whenever we get the chance. I mean, there was like some minor moments in general, like the small stuff, like Ray stopping to take a selfie with Flash and Supergirl with Bebo in the back. And
that was cute, yeah.
And Mick's book signing, because he continues to be an author. He's got the time to write, I guess, all the time. So he's got lots of books available. So that was fun
to
see.
He's not helping the Wave Rap in any other way, so.
Not at all. But yeah, it was just like those small moments. And it just felt like, specifically with, it was nice to see the Kara moment in the beginning, like truly waking up to a world that she recognized, but she didn't recognize at the same time. And I felt like that was the most we got to see of this new post-crisis world, which I feel like could have benefited from a lot of more of that. But it was nice that she told Alex she loves her, and then Nia, at least they're still like working as journalists, and all the Lex stuff is great too. I'm trying to think of other things. Yeah, I'm going to stop there.
Don't hurt yourself, me.
What did not spark joy?
Well, I totally forgot to mention the whole opening of Supergirl, which I loved. I think that it's a really cool direction to have Lex sort of be like the ultimate good guy, but knowing that he's not. Because it's like, it's not like the world has changed and he is a good guy, because he even winks at her, right? At the end of that segment. So it's like he knows what's going on, obviously, because he's a Paragon. So so I like that. I did not like... I don't know what it was that made this crossover just so not fun. Or this episode, actually, of the crossover is not fun. But I guess it's just that it was... It felt like, first off, I don't know, like a Bebo, a giant Bebo going through the streets was
jump,
like how...
Jump the Bebo with that one.
Yeah, exactly.
It's time to retire him.
How is that the way that we are going to like introduce this like joint Earth Prime? I don't know. It seemed kind of like, I was just like, okay. And then it turned out to not be Bebo. It was... someone who was using people's love of Bebo so he could rob a bank or whatever it was that he was doing. And at that point, I was just like, okay, I've checked out. I don't know what's going on and I don't care. So that was, you know, not a joyful for me. And then the other thing, of course, was why does Sarah have to get it through her thick skull that Oliver is dead when she literally saw him die? And it wasn't like she was like, well, we all died. And it's like, it was not the same thing. He died. He just died. You know, after being a ghost in the first place, ghost death, and then the Earth rebooted, right? So, like, he was not suddenly undead in the reboot when he had, like, already died. So, whatever. It seemed like such a waste to have to spend another 45 minutes going over how important and beautiful and wonderful Oliver is and how we're all so sad that he is dead. So, no, thank you. Also, as much as I would like to say, oh, cool, Weather Witch, because it is the idea that Supergirl could now fight, like, Flash villains and vice versa is fun, right? But I was just annoyed that Weather Witch got a check for this episode and Iris and Cisco didn't. I was like, oh, Weather Witch is going to be here. But Carlos and Candace are not. Even though, and, you know, basically several people who are inarguably way more important to Barry than the one, or actually from the two people from the Flash that they brought, which was H.R. Wells, who nobody cares about, and Caitlin. Like, what? How is that the Flash people you have here? Barry didn't even mention Iris. He couldn't even, like, in that scene with Sarah, he couldn't even say, like, yes, I lost my mother, my father, and very recently, my daughter. Yes. Wow, maybe I should check and see how Iris is doing in this new world. Does she even remember that we lost our daughter? Did that even happen in this world? Crazy. But no, he had no thoughts on Iris whatsoever, which makes absolutely no sense for Barry. And this is like, is it only the second time Legends have done this? I don't know, but it just brings me back. Flashbacks to that Invasion crossover when Barry was like, let me go kill myself and not mention Iris. So...
it's like the writers always forget all the Flash characters except for, like, the white ones.
Yep. Basically. Exactly. Exactly!
Legends didn't even play... they only play their white people, too. So, the only other people that were in the Legends cast that got to be in the Legends episode were Nate and Ava.
That's so
and
true.
And for, like, a minute and 30 seconds. They got that minute 30-second check, but there's no checks for everybody else.
Yeah, Nate, Ava, Mick, Ray. Yep, exactly. And, of course, Sarah. That's crazy. That's so crazy. Considering how, you know, diverse Legends is. But that's fine. That's fine.
All that money for Bebo, but none for Charlie. Cool. Cool, cool.
Yeah. And like, now it's like, they're, whatever, okay. I guess they just didn't have room for it. But the Earth, like, they rebooted things, so then it was Zari's brother on the ship with him and not Zari, but how does the Earth all rebooting change that, right? Is it still the same? I don't know. I guess it's later, right? That's why they didn't do it, because it's later in the timeline. I don't know. But anyway, whatever. That probably hurt Legends too. They couldn't do very much legending in the Legends episode because it's not there. It's not actually how their season starts. So they don't want to reveal where the characters are. And the only characters whose fates would not be up in the air would be the white characters. So there they are, I guess. Anyway, it just felt like kind of just a letdown. Like, even the second battle, like, they're like, oh, we have to fight the Anti-Monitor again. It was just like a blur and like not a very exciting battle. And considering the first battle was let's all hold hands or not hold hands and stare really powerfully at Oliver while he does something. The fact that this one was like less than that was very sad. The only thing I remember about it was the miniature Superman. And then I guess fact that the Age Monitor is now, you know, being miniaturized for eternity, right? That's his like comeuppance, which I guess that's cool. But I don't know. I would have liked to go out with more of a bang and less of a whimper. So there you go.
Yeah. I'm just not realizing that Kate had almost nothing to do in the last two episodes of the crossover.
Correct.
Because she wasn't very prominent in Arrow. And then in Legends, she didn't show up until like 20 minutes in. Like when, I guess it was when they were fighting Bebo or whatever.
Yeah.
So she didn't really have much to do.
Oh, I liked that Black Lightning came back. He's on the Earth and he came in.
But it was kind of weird. Like, how did you get there? How did you get in the middle of Star Labs, Jefferson?
That's
he
true.
Just dropped in and, yeah.
He was like, hey, John came, touched my head, and we're good to go. So
did he also drop him off in Star Labs? Like, I don't understand. But yeah, it's just like frustrating when, you know, Guggenheim tries to throw out the, oh, it's expensive and we have to make budget cuts. But then you see what they choose to do and who they choose to have in the Crisis crossover. You know, like half of Supergirl's team gets to be in Legends. You have this giant Bebo, which... that's probably the most Legends thing about the Legends episode, which is maybe why they did it, but it's just kind of, you know, you survived blowing up an entire multiverse and bringing it back together, and the first thing you want to do is, like, a giant Bebo. It just kind of seems a little bit ridiculous considering how big the comic was. And so it just seems a little bit, like, cheesy and ridiculous, which is on brand for Legends, but just kind of like, I thought this was supposed to be like a massive, you're looking for like a massive thing and then you get Bebo. It's kind of like, ugh, I don't know. So they're spending all this money on Bebo, but they don't want to spend money on their other actors in the cast on the show. No one died other than Oliver. Oliver died twice. So it's like, Even in deaths, Oliver had to, like, take the spotlight. If someone else died, then that means, like, Oliver's death is not as much, doesn't get as much focus. So no one else gets to die. No one else dies. Yay for you. But we're going to, like, just talk about Oliver dying over and over and over again for the last two episodes. Diggle, Team Arrow, and they're, like, sobbing over Oliver being dead and... Diggle is just like, I wasn't there both times. Like, is he like upset that Oliver died, or just that he didn't get to see it? He didn't get to be there.
He wanted to see him go.
he just wanted to feel included. Oh my god. Yeah,
I'm never gonna be part of the crossover again. People keep dying, and I'm not there.
I didn't get to be there both times. The fact that Nash Wells was apparently necessary for this last part of the crossover, just for someone to say, you know, I guess it was mainly for John to like yell at him, but he didn't really, other than like flash his arm and say, look, antimatter, like he didn't really provide much, but he got to have a check instead of, you know, Iris or Cisco. Cisco definitely could have been helping with like the tech stuff. it's, if you're going to be like in Central City in Star Labs, like why don't you include some more of the Flash characters? Cause that's kind of like part of the point. And, Caitlin somehow, like the two random people find Nash Wells. So those two random people get a check for finding Nash Wells on the ground. And they're like, oh, let's call the police. And then somehow he ends up in Star Labs. Like, well, how did that happen? Like it's, mm-hmm. Wells is a confessed murderer on this earth, supposed to be dead, is found by two random people that's like, let's call an ambulance, and then like Star Labs swoops in like, let me take this person off your hands. Like, does that not seem shady to anybody? Like, how did he get to Star Labs? And I guess it was only so that you could introduce Caitlin into the episode. And I can assume that they wanted Frost for like the Dollar General Rory like fire and ice kind of dynamic that they have with like Rory and Frost. But other than that, did she do anything in the crossover? Like even nope. In the Flash episode, they didn't have her do anything with the Flash crossover. But she got a check to be there.
Yep.
And instead of something else that could have made sense, with Barry and Iris. Like Iris being the one with Barry when they're watching the tribute to Oliver on TV or something like that. So it's just like those little things, like you pay a check to the Weather Witch, but you don't pay a check to have Iris and Barry reunite on screen. When the last we saw them, they were like fighting to stay together before like Barry vanished. Like why don't you like revisit that? Maybe that could be something, you know? So I don't know. It just felt like extra, like an extra episode that didn't need to be an extra episode.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, Anti-Monitor pops back up again after he died because.
Yeah, I think it's stupid because in general, like you said, the whole episode didn't need to be there. And the fact that we had Oliver die and then we're obviously going to revisit the post-crisis era on all the individual shows anyway, so they can have cut a couple of scenes from the fourth episode so that they can bring back Black Lightning and they can form the Justice League. And then we can see the true impact of like everything else later on, if you're not going to include any of those characters.
What I was saying that was good about this episode and the Supergirl part, Supergirl is set up for their back half in this episode. None of the other shows got that. I have no idea how the other shows are going to pick up, and they could have used some time to do that. Yeah,
for sure. And, yeah, so I agree with everything you guys said. And it was just the least enjoyable episode of the five. Like, everything else had at least something going for it. You know, there was something to be enjoyed, some character interactions to like. But I feel like the Legends writers specifically have a tendency to over-legend themselves, if that makes sense. That they write, like, all the characters way too goofy, even when that's not who they are. And, of course, like, my biggest pet peeve the entire episode was the lack of Iris. Like, her appearance in the episode would have made a lot of sense, specifically after everything that had happened, the rebirth of, like, why does Kara get to wake up at her apartment, but Barry can't wake up at his, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like the crossovers Kara's the last few years. Yeah, yes, that's true. And, like, the crossovers mottos the last few years have been, like, if it makes sense, don't do it. So, like, if I'm to step back and be a bit more objective, I can understand budget constraints. But the argument is, like, why, if you know these things, why don't you just write a better story within that budget? So, like, it's the CW. They had a lot of high-profile guest stars. I get it, whatever. But the issue lies in the general disrespect I feel like Mark Guggenheim has for Barry's character, and by extension, the people he cares the most about. So everyone returns to the present after losing, you know, Iris and being without her for months or seconds or however long he was without her. It's hard to believe he doesn't go to see her or even mention her name at all. Like, make that make sense. The only people to appear from The Flash were Nash and Frost, who didn't really add anything to the episode. Like, Killer Frost got all dressed up, became her snarky self, but she wasn't even in the fight scene.
All dressed up at the end.
Like, why? So why were you there? Like, why was she paid?
That is
Nash
true.
Was unnecessary
she
was
at the fight scene.
Yeah.
The Black Lightning killed the shadow thingy.
Exactly. So she did nothing. So, like, why did you get dressed up? Where were you going? I don't understand.
She's going to spend her check.
Yeah, and then like Tom got paid that extra check.
Bank.
And then Tom got paid, and then Iris and Cisco were like paid dust. So like, I don't know. All the other main, like, I can understand Jefferson, who's like a new character coming in, that they're not gonna like bother trying to bring in the rest of the Black Lightning cast right now. Fine. Kate, her entire cast was not there from the beginning, but they still, like, Kate still got some big emotional moments in general with, you know, Kara, for example. Like, Barry's principal cast, the ones he should have, like, emotional beats with, didn't get any of that at all. And he's been around since the beginning. So it's such bullshit at this point, and a clear example to me.
Such a pussy for Oliver. All emotional beats are for Oliver.
Yeah, like, the only time Guggenheim cares for Barry is when he's kissing Oliver's ass, like you said. Exactly. And I hate it. I hate it.
Yeah.
And then, again, like you said, Barry mentioning loss and family and leaving out Nora. I'm like, okay, so did we forget that that happened? Like, why are the only people who died in Barry's history his parents? It's really annoying. And then elsewhere in the episode, I wasn't overly amused with Bebo's return either. Like, I get it. The Legends writers love him. So do a lot of fans. They'll keep bringing him back until the well runs dry. But, like, his appearance just doesn't do anything anymore because he's just a cute, cuddly character, but it's super ridiculous to just even have him be there when he's not even real. He wasn't even real anyway. And it just felt like this episode really hit you over the head with the fact that Oliver was dead. If you forgot for 1 second that Oliver was gone, woo! Two scenes later, there you go. Oliver's dead. For Oliver, president, tribute for Oliver. Everyone was kissing Oliver's ass in this episode.
Yeah, and, like, they win a battle. Thank you, Oliver. I don't think Oliver like, did that.
Oh, no one else. No, sacrifice. Everyone literally died. So, like, I get it. Like, he is the character that launched 1,000 ships or whatever. But come on now. You know, so it's just really pathetic to me that you have to keep reminding people about how important this one character is instead of just allowing the story to flow seamlessly. It's like they're treating the audience like idiots, you know, like, yeah. Oh, well, you know, even if you don't really like Oliver, Oliver is a hero. I feel meh about Oliver, but he did this. He died for your faves. Just he to remind you.
He's over Jesus. And over again. He died for your sins.
He died for your sins.
The thing that's so funny, like, is that I don't think that it even, like, not even Oliver fans or Arrow fans were satisfied with the way that Oliver's death was handled, because it was away from the, like, majority of the Arrow cast. You know, it wasn't in the context of his own show or his own story. So they feel like he was robbed to an extent in order to serve the crossovers, while we feel like the crossovers were robbed in order to serve him. So really, everyone
nobody wins. And, like, we were talking about, like, Iris's absence from this episode. Also, Laurel had a big pre-crisis arc, and then she was paid dust. She wasn't even in any of the episodes except the Arrow one, which, you know, had to probably be written because it's an Arrow episode. So it makes no sense to me that she got nothing. Yeah, not even like when, and they showed Stargirl on Earth 2, but like, what, how is Laurel dealing with the Earth 2 being back and what's going on there? Like, you know, it's just, I don't know. The whole thing was a little bit of a mess, and it was just not even an enjoyable mess. Like, you know, nothing I could smile about in 42 minutes. So it was just really sad. But we do have feedback. About other people's feelings about Crisis.
Yeah, other people's feelings. Am I reading that feedback? Tasha,
yes,
or do you have your email?
Yes, you do, dear. I got nothing.
So first, why? Crisis feedback is from Shang. He says, hey there, lovely ladies. A belated congratulations on your 100th episode. Your podcast.
Shang, you're alive.
Insightful and trustworthy.
Oh.
He has that gif of New York's like, you're the only bitch in this house that I ever respected. On to Crisis. I sure hope we are finally getting off Oliver's dick now. There are so many problems with the whole crossover, mainly Oliver sucking up everyone's oxygen when he was meant to be dead. They should have kept his specter revealed to the last part of the third hour and for it to be a cliffhanger. Like, shit, everyone's gone, but the seven of them. But also, oh my god, Oliver isn't dead? His own clownery causes early death, so I really have no sympathy at all. He didn't even deserve to be the Spectre. He robs Kara of her big fight with the Anti-Monitor for the first battle and robbed Barry's whole character. The fuck? I really felt Barry was snubbed so bad in this crossover that was meant to be his. The Flash is built up crisis from the beginning, and they treated Barry like how they usually treat women in these crossovers. Plus, you're going to tell me that he was more upset over Oliver's white plain ass than the love of his life, Iris, with Alan? Make it make sense, truly. Him not even bringing up Iris or even going to see her in the fifth hour is the biggest het phobia. I rarely ever fight for straight rights, but I'm so offended. It would truly kill Google to give Candace an extra paycheck. Huh? And you know what else? You know, this reminds me of, you know, the whole other thing about Guggenheim saying that, you know, because people were asking, like, where's the Reverse Flash? He's like, oh, we've done the Reverse Flash, you know, for, and he made the excuse that it, all of the people that were there in the beginning weren't the showrunners now, and so, like, they didn't want to do Reverse Flash like, again, and da-da-da-da. But that was been the whole point of the Crisis headline in The Flash for, like, the past five, 6 years. And if Reverse Flash is overdone, it's because y'all fucking made it overdone. Y'all, like, you were the showrunner.
That's hilarious to me because it's like saying, oh, well, you know, well, Oliver died once, but you're doing it again, aren't you? So you're sort of repeating the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could tell you a couple other things that are overdone, Mark Guggenheim.
And it's also the opposite of what he said. He was like, we can't just let those other constraints dictate the story. And then when asked where Iris and Cisco were, he's like, well, we can't let, you know, story get in the way of our greed for cameos. Our budget only goes so far. I was like, oh, okay.
Bullshit.
Back to Shang. He says, like, the fifth hour confirms it is now the Beboverse. I will not take any arguments. Truly got offended by the fake-out Anti-Monitor-verse Kara battle. And that corny-ass throw it like a girl, please. Can the writer's room get any more stupid? We could have Kara ramming the ball into the chest of the Anti-Monitor or something. Anyways, Kara said Lex deserves rights to shut the fuck up, and I find that mad sexy. Thank you, Shane. Shion sent Crisis feedback. She says, hello, ladies. I hope you're all doing well, and I hope your holidays were enjoyable. I'm not sure when was the last time I sent in feedback, so I wanted to say this just in case. Thank you so much. I'm going to keep it short and to the point in my regards to my opinion on parts 4 and 5, and that's basically that it was a major letdown for me. Didn't enjoy it. Had some good parts, but overall, it dragged for me, and a lot of it either didn't make sense narratively or character-wise, at least as far as Barry's character is concerned. I really don't like it when other shows write for Barry because it's not authentic at times. I don't know the characters well enough on the other shows to have an opinion on them. Maybe if I was an Arrow or LOT fan, I might have enjoyed these last two parts more, but I'm not, so I didn't. It has nothing to do with Arrow or Legends fans. Like, I'm pretty sure a lot of them are also upset, Shion, so you're not alone. She said, I'll leave it to you ladies to do the breakdown and go into details on what sparked joy and didn't. I will say this, if there's another crossover and Mark Guggenheim is in charge, I'm skipping it because I am beyond over him. Anyways, I just wanted to at least give my overall thoughts on the Crisis conclusion. Take care. Well, you can probably skip the next years because I'm pretty sure he's back for that.
So.
But at least he won't write for Oliver, so there's the small things.
Who is his next favorite person in the Arrowverse? That's what we need to figure out. Because if it's Barry, it's going to be like a whole crisis of Barry by himself without Iris, and I'm just not feeling that at all. Anyways, finally, KJ has his Crisis feedback. Hello, Gumption.
Before you read KJ's feedback, I'm going to pre-defend myself because KJ, I did not spoil you on Twitter. Why were you on Twitter when you were watching Crisis? Mute the hashtag, man.
Hi, KJ.
He says, I hope this email finds you well. I know the title says Crisis, but what I really want to discuss is how you're so wrong about Titans. Just kidding. I accept the different opinions and I won't state mine as fact. Back to Crisis. It was disappointing to finish a disappointing. It was a disappointing finish to a disappointing crossover that had good moments sprinkled throughout. Like everyone, I was quite surprised at Ezra Miller making an appearance, which is unfortunately spoiled by May on Twitter.
Oh my God.
There was no way you're going to get out of that. There is no.
Like, everyone was tweeting about it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I was spoiled as well, but there's just no way that was ever going to be kept secret. So, anyways, he said, but it didn't make sense. How did he get there? Why did he disappear? And in my opinion, he was inserted because WB is keeping his Barry fresh in people's minds before his movie or to ensure people it's still happening despite all the odds, which Agreed. Is probably very accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah, because didn't the president or like Jim Lee, someone at WB pushed for him to be in the crossover?
Yeah, that, apparently. I mean, that's
smart marketing in a sense, because it gets people hyped about, and clearly people were like super hyped seeing him on there. Yeah. So now there's like.
And it was like the best Barry that he's really played like since he was cast, because he's been.
Yeah.
Technically, he's been Barry since as long as Grant has been Barry, but he's not been Barry because he hasn't gotten a damn movie, so.
So, yeah, and hopefully now that they actually have, like, a concrete script and are getting ready to film something, it's fresh enough in people's minds from this Crisis crossover that they'll actually, like, want to go see the movie, so.
Right.
Yeah, actually, KJ, because they're, you know, that whole thing about them possibly doing Flashpoint, he could have been in the middle of going back to the past.
Oh, that could have been a Flashpoint, yeah.
Okay, totally there you go.
KJ says, the Arrow episode had loads of Barry, thankfully, but the Oliver moments we saw in the Speed Force were odd. They weren't Oliver's finest or bonding, like Spectre Oliver said. Thank you. Furthermore, he takes forever to die. Legends had some good moments, mainly between Sarah and Barry, even if she forgot her mom was still alive. Still hate Debo. The formation of the Justice League was cool, even if Oliver having a seat was weird. There would have probably been Mia's. I hope not. Well, yeah, okay. I'm going to stop talking. I think it's just like an honorary chair, to be honest, because Oliver is the father of all things. Everything flew out from
the womb. So that his Spectre can sit at the table.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oliver is God. On the seventh day, he created the Justice League. Okay. So, too many Oliver tributes, the president, the heroes, etc. Black Lightning deserves a seat, but his show still films in Atlanta. So yeah, it'll be into the, I mean, I doubt there will be much of Black Lightning crossing over other than the crossover, but
right. Yeah. And even like the other shows, they're going to go back to living their lives, you know?
Yeah. So that is all of the Crisis feedback that we have. So that concludes that. I guess we can go on to Lady with Gumption of Crisis.
All right, yes. So who do you ladies think is the Lady with Gumption of the last two episodes?
Of the last two episodes? I would probably be Sarah then.
Oh, I was going to say Kara.
Oh, it would be Kara.
Because she had like a lot, like trying to keep Lex intact, or not intact, but trying to keep an eye on Lex. And I feel like she had like a lot of like character moments,
yeah,
in the fourth and then the final episode.
I accept this. It's not Kate.
May, will you break the? It's not Iris.
She's not Iris.
May, do you have a tiebreaker?
I mean, for sure, the two are Kara and Sarah, because like nobody else got anything for the most part.
Yeah.
I want to say Kara because Sarah had a lot to do, but I feel like she was just going backwards a lot in terms of like her whole thing was accepting Oliver's death. It wasn't really about her or trying to do what's right. It was just trying to like not be in denial. versus like Kara, who was actively trying to fight. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Paragon of hoping.
Yes. Paragon of pep talks wins.
Woohoo! This concludes our crisis talk for Worlds Collide. May we not, well, I hope we all see you next crossover, because you know it's going to exist, but maybe we'll all be less salty by then again, and then it'll remind us why we're salty to begin with.
Our salt tank will be depleted, ready to be filled up again by the next crossover.
Yeah. But we'll be back next week with all the shows, except Flash, premiering in the post-crossover world, so we look forward to seeing what that looks like. And we will see you next week, where Arrow, Supergirl, Batwoman, Black Lightning, and Legends all return. Bye.
Bye. Bye.